Truly.
I want to see them suffer.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Hate Thinner Date, the podcast where we hate Thinner Date, but we love that it is the return of the National Taylor Swift League today.
Yay,
yes. Everybody. Welcome back. A second season. She's not a rookie anymore. So we are second season in the National Taylor Swift League, which is what we are officially calling it because it pisses a bunch of grown men off. And that pleases me to no end. It is Thursday. It is usually chaos, but today you're going to get a little dollop of chaos with mostly Dustin because we were only doing Dustin this week because life be like that sometimes. It was Labor Day and we decided we didn't want to do any labor.
Exactly. Exactly.
Of any sort. Hi, it's Bethany, very pro-union, in case anyone's curious about my thoughts and feelings on that. With me, as always, it's Michael Ann, also very pro-union. How are you doing today?
I am great. I'm great. You know what is a really good idea when you've already had kind of a challenging day is to, like, go on your dead friend's Instagram and, like, watch a bunch of videos of him.
Yeah, people recommend it all the time. Great for mental health.
Such a good idea, especially just, like, 10 minutes before you start recording a video podcast. Yeah. But, you know, other than that, I'm good.
No complaints.
No complaints. Wish he wasn't dead. That would be nice.
Yeah, sure. That is a complaint. I'll give you that one.
Yeah. I'd like to speak to the man in charge. also, a rant. I'm going on a small rant today. Also, I can't really, like, figure out the lighting.
Anytime Michael Ann texts me and says, I want a rant, like, please, by all means.
So, I love a rant. I was way more pissed off about this before, when I texted you, and then I kind of, like, chilled about it.
It can be like that sometimes.
But I have been having painful periods, as I'm sure you can all relate, probably. So I was supposed to get tested, not tested, but like an ultrasound this week.
And when you say tested, it makes it sound like,
yeah. No, I was supposed to get an ultrasound to see if I had endometriosis. But they sent me the bill today and it's $900. And yes, I do have health insurance. Yes. It's an ultrasound.
It's all a scam.
$900.
The system is scammed.
So I canceled it. And my best friend was like, that was an insane decision. I'm like, listen, I don't have $900.
$900 just lying around right now to spare, okay?
And the pain's not bad enough yet. Like, if the pain gets worse.
That's the most women. This is the women healthcare right here. We're like, it's tolerable right now. When it's debilitating, when I literally can't move, that's when I'll break down and spend that $900.
The thing is, too, because it's like, okay, I'm going to spend $900. And they're going to be like, okay, yeah, you have endometriosis. You have to go get it lasered off. And then it's like, okay, cool. How much is that? $10,000? Right. It's like, I'll just wait until I'm desperate. Basically.
That is literally, it really is. It's the American healthcare system right there in a nutshell. God, yep. We really have a great, y'all. It's the freest, most magical country in the world, let me tell y'all. Mm-hmm. If you're one of our handful of non-American listeners, this is what you're missing out on.
I wish I was you.
Truly wish I was one of y'all that had universal healthcare. It would be great, is what it would be.
My friend's on the cruise right now, and she met a man from Argentina, and he told her that he goes to therapy every week. And she was like, if you don't mind me asking, how do you afford that? And he was like, it's $70 a month.
Fantastic. 10 out of 10. Would recommend.
Weekly therapy. I was like, oh,
cool. I wish I knew what that was like. That's so nice. Wow.
That's so great.
We literally pay money I pay twice a month, I guess, like weekly, like for, you know, every pay period I have to pay for insurance.
Yep.
For everything to still cost me $1 million. So I'm like, why do I pay you people? What is this?
Right.
Why? This is dumb.
Andrew is the first person to use our dental insurance. and they only cleaned half of his mouth.
Why?
And he has to come back for a second appointment to get the other half cleaned. And I was like,
what happened there? I have questions. Like, I have never heard of that.
Me either. I was like, what are you talking about? You're joking. No, he's not joking. It was because of the way the insurance like bills it or something. They were like, it's
bizarre. Well,
it will only cover it if you just come in twice for one half of each. I'm like,
wild.
I'm going to that same dentist next week and I'm just going to be like, so
what's the situation here? Can I get my whole mouth or not?
Are we good for the whole mouth?
Or? We might have to figure something else out.
And he still had to pay like $60.
That is insane.
I'm like, what? This will probably be our last time at this dentist. It's a very fancy dentist. It looks like.
I'm thinking maybe that's not the right fit. I don't know what's going on there, but I have 18 follow-up questions about that is all I'm going to say.
Yeah, I was very confused. He kept being like, wow, this side of my mouth feels so clean, but this side of my mouth feels not clean. And I was like, that's fucking gross. Why did you let them do that?
Yeah, the second I walked in and they said that, I'd be like, I'm good, thank you. I'm gonna go figure out a different situation. But that's like such a man to just be like, well, okay, I mean, that's what they said. Like, not ask any questions, just go for it. He's like,
He said, I could only do half the mouth. I was like, I know you haven't been to the dentist in a while, buddy, but they usually do your whole
thing. They usually do the whole thing. It's crazy, I know.
Oh my God.
That honestly, that's fantastic. Either something is really weird with the insurance or something is really weird with that dental office. I'm not sure which one, but something weird is for sure going on. And. Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know if that's the best. That's good or not. But I'm thinking it's not good. Yeah, I don't know. Any other thoughts or feelings before? I'm sure thoughts and feelings are just going to pop up as we get into things. But yeah, yes.
Absolutely nothing. I was just going to say that these two chapters are packed.
They're packed. They are jam-packed. We are getting into like the climactic. I mean, we have... After this, we only have one more time discussing the moon and more. And yeah, things are getting juicy. If y'all thought last week was juicy, things are like even more juicy this week. So quick recap, speaking of, essentially last week was kind of like the shit started hitting the fan and she finally confronted her dad about him ghosting her with the graduation invite and the paying for college and all that jazz. He was as shitty as to be expected in handling all of that. And then she basically leaves there, goes to her mom, even though she kind of had a weird little argument with her mom that morning. But of course, because her mom is actually a decent human being, she is there for her daughter. And that's kind of where we left off. Like, that was the main gist of what was the last two chapters. And that's exactly where we pick up today in chapter 18. So... let's dive on in, shall we, folks? Juicy. I be juicy. First, I have to find where chapter 18 is. Oh, can I just say one more quick thing? Speaking of books. So I was back home this weekend for the first football game. The game went terrible. 10 out of 10 would not recommend the actual game. Bit of it. The experience, lovely. A little hot, but you know, my nephew got to come to the game, so that was really fun. He was my little date. And got to see, like, you know, some of the football family. Got to eat brie. Any day you get to eat brie is a good day. But the actual game, terrible. But because it was an extended weekend, I got to hang out with my parents like all day on Sunday, which usually I would drive home. But I was like, bonus me time, you're welcome. Because I'm a delight. And we got to hit up some new and exciting things. Well, for me, new and exciting, because these are like newer things. One of them is a bookstore, which was very lovely. I love an independent bookstore. If you're ever in Gainesville, Florida, check out the links. My mom is really cool and hip, y'all. And she actually was the one who suggested it because she's been before because she's cool like that. And we went and it's lovely. And their whole shtick is obviously in Florida right now in particular because you can't say gay and shit in school. There's a lot of books being banned. I mean, books have always been banned in schools, obviously. But obviously in the last few years, thanks to Ron DeSantis TM, things have gotten really off the wall. So their whole thing is basically highlighting banned books and books by people of color and Indigenous people and LGBT people. So it's great. Their book club, like right now, is the new Casey McQuesten novel. So I picked that up, which the lady's like, that's what we're reading for book club this month. And I was like, I don't like actually live here, but I visit here. My family lives here. I used to live here. But I was like, I'm not going to be able to come to book club to discuss with y'all, but I'm so super stoked to read it. So they were fantastic. And it was very lovely. So yeah, I don't know. Shop independent as much as you can. Obviously, I know that it is hard sometimes, but if you can find a cool store, especially one that is very LGBT friendly and, you know, obviously representing different things like that, people of color, Indigenous people, banned books in general, it's a good place to be. Give them your money and support.
I love that. I went to a really nice bookstore in Massachusetts, but I cannot remember the name of it. It's like Long Story Short or like The Story.
Oh, that's cute. I like that.
Something like that. It was very cute.
Like pun. Mm, I like
that. And they had like a shitload of Diary of a Wimpy Kid stuff. They had like a statue. They had like.
You're in on that.
Yeah. I guess the author.
Is the author like from there?
He must be or she must be because like there's signings and stuff. I was like, okay, this is the official bookstore of The Wimpy Kid.
The Wimpy Kid, evidently. Well, there you go. Huh, that's funny. I like that. Where am I? Okay, chapter 18. That's what I was signing, and then I got distracted talking about bookstores. I just always like a peruse. My mom was like, do you want to go to the bookstore? And I was like, yeah, absolutely. Say less. And she's like, well, do you want anything? And I was like, I'm not particularly looking for anything, but give me a minute in a bookstore. I'm sure I'll find something. I was like, does one have to go if they're looking for something? No, you go and it finds you.
That's exactly.
You'll know. You'll know when it calls to you. Okay. Chapter 18. Here we go. So like I said, she just drove back to the office to... You know, she was literally sobbing, rocks on up, and her mom is waiting for her. And chapter 18 starts with, it wasn't a cocktail maker, it was a monstrosity, of which we discuss that apparently this margarita machine has been on back order, and it was supposed to go in the big fancy Sand Dollars house, where, of course, Ivy and up until recently, Theo was staying, but he, of course, now is in the trailer park. Or campsite. I don't think they call it a trailer park. I think it's technically called a campsite. But anywho, so they're talking, they're looking this over. Her mom, being very understanding, is like, you don't need to do this right now. Like, you've had a heck of a morning. Like, you don't have to worry about putting this together or delivering it. And she's like, no, I need to because I need a distraction. And she was like, also, the last time I saw Ivy, I think she could use one of these. Which was just true. She literally was on her way to get a margarita. So it's kind of funny. So she's like, oh my God, like, you know, this is a crazy... huge thing. And, you know, but she, like I said, she wants a distraction. And, you know, so her mom is, you know, very concerned about her. And she kind of backtracks a little bit when she first showed up and how everything was. And she says, I like highlighted, this is a little bit of a lengthy passage, but I just thought it was like so good that I need to read all of it. Okay. So she talks about, so her mom's like asking her, like, are you sure you're okay? And she's like, yeah, like I'm good. And she says, you know, I know it sounded weird, but beneath the tears and the sobs, there'd been the sense of relief, a feeling that something long nagging at me was finally closed and finished. For months now, I'd carried around all this hurt and confusion, not letting myself truly feel it. But in that drive from North Redmain, I finally got it. We shouldn't have some big bonding moment, a sudden shift where he became everything I needed him to be. He wasn't a problem for me to fix either. Instead, he was the truth to accept, just like the fact that he'd always been on that line of my family tree. There was a peace in that, just as there was a knowing that whether he became anything else would, in the end, be up to only me. And I, just in this, like, whatever, two paragraphs, I feel like there's so much to unpack. I love this. Like, we did just end with, of course, it, like, her finally speaking her piece. And I do think when something is, like, giving you so much anxiety or whatever, there's something in just knowing, even if it's not necessarily the answer you want, that is just so comforting, of being like, I did it. I got that. I spoke my peace of mind. I got the answer, whatever, no matter what the answer is. So it's just like her knowing like, oh, that's where we stand. And then I also love like, there's never going to be a sudden shift where we're besties. where he's calling me daily, where he's suddenly my dad. Like, that's never going to happen. And I now understand that. And that I could see that being like a relief in a sense. Like, yeah, just being like, oh, I get it now. I'm not going to now put my hopes and dreams into that. I now understand that like the relationship that we have is he's going to basically be a sperm donor to me. And that's fine. Like, I don't, she has a dad. She has a good dad. She doesn't need him to be whatever else he's trying to be. And I was just like, oh, yeah, that is fantastic. And then she finally, again, she keeps saying like this whole novel, like they play by his rules. And she signed at the point where she's like, nope, no more balls in my court now. And whatever our relationship is from now on, it's going to be my call. Like, I get to decide this. If I never want to speak to him again, I can decide that. If I want to speak to him again, I can decide that. But it's up to me. And I was like, viva la revolución.
Yes. She really comes to some great realizations in this,
yes,
chapters.
So, so many things are so like that. So yeah, that was just like, just that pleases me. That pleases me very much. And then go from that to, she gets a text from Theo. He's like being his normal self. He's like, phase one,
annoying,
your job ever begins now, going to talk to Clyde. And it's like, you can just like be normal for once and be like, I'm gonna go talk to Clyde, see if I can get me a job. Like, why does everything have to be so pretentious and so much pomp and circumstance? And that is from someone who loves pomp and circumstance, don't get me wrong. Like, I live for it, but like, dude, broski. Too much, sir. This is way too much.
Mm-hmm.
So yes. So we, she's trying to figure out how she's getting this from point A to point B, which of course is $10. And it sounds like it's very heavy and very complicated. And apparently they keep trying to tell her, I love this like running bit in this chapter about Rebecca and her little like spindly arms. And it just, it's a thing like running through these next few pages. And I just find that very funny. I'm like, poor Rebecca.
Yes.
So much shade is being thrown her way. They're like, apparently weak little arms. Just, I'm like, wow. But just then, thankfully, the Calvary shows up in the form of Benji and Morris, except that Morris actually can't help because he, has like something else to do. And apparently she finds out that he's been working at Tally Ho, and she's like, what the heck, you working? And he's like, yeah, I'm like trying to save up some money, like maybe even enough to go like visit Daisy at college. And so it's like, oh, okay, so he's not gonna like be dumb and break, like, you, again, he was doing it in a very good, kind-hearted, like, you know, from a kind-hearted place, but he was also being kind of dumb. And him and Daisy are perfect together, and you try before you just, you know, admit defeat. Exactly. So that sounds promising. And so, of course, our girl, Emmeline, is like, yay, I'm glad, like, you're not going to break up with her. That's fantastic. And then she's like, I can help. And she's like, you're 10, and you're, like, great and awesome, but you're not that strong, little bud. So I'm going to need someone with some more, like, strength. Because, again, Rebecca over there with apparently the worst arms ever. I was like, poor Rebecca. She's about to go, like, start hitting some weights because so much being thrown her way. Benji is 10, so again, not the most, you know, the strongest person on earth. And so Benji's like, we should get Luke, we could ask him. And she's like, okay, well, that's a little awkward. He's probably like, babe, he's right outside. Like, it's fine, we can grab him. And she's like, oh, okay. And then guess who else is right outside but Leah, aka Benji's mom, aka Joel's wife, soon to be ex-wife. She rolls on in and has a very belated graduation card, because again, no one is surprised that in this family, in this relationship, she did everything and Joel did jack shit. So she was like, oh my god, I'm so sorry, like things have been crazy, I had this card picked out, I swear, and I just never sent it. Which, guilty, I'm terrible at sending things in the mail.
Same.
So bad. And so we're like, oh, Leah's here. And I'm like, I'm just beginning to wonder, like, because Emmeline kind of says here that she remembers how much she liked Leah, like in the little bit she knows her. She's like, oh yeah, like she always seemed really nice and kind. And I do think she probably is a little extra from what we've heard Benji say, but I'm really beginning to wonder how much of that is her and how much of that is Joel. Because yeah. I'm thinking it might be more Joel, because like the Leah that we meet here, who like wants to take her son to the beach and do all that kind of stuff, seems like the type of person who would let her son eat shrimp burgers and not a lean protein salad.
Literally.
So I don't know, y'all. I think it's Joel. I think he's the problem, and no one is surprised.
He definitely is a problem.
Yeah. To say the least. So yeah, Leah's there, which kind of surprises everyone. And Benji's all like, I want to help my sister. I was like, she's the only person that can be seen. my girl over here. Lordy, the exhaustion has hit. No excuses. It's just been one of those weeks. So he wants to go hang out with her and help her with the job. And Leah's like, oh my God, I've missed you all summer. And I would really like to see you, which again is what a caring mother would do. Mm-hmm. Take notes, Joel, as a caring parent, should maybe be more like that, but you're not. Anyways, that was a very exaggerated sip of my drink. I'm sorry, everyone. Sometimes it just hit. That one got good.
Anyway, is it Dr. Pepper?
It is Dr. Pepper. Sponsor us, please. Thank you.
Sponsor us.
I got home and I have kind of a busy night planned for recording this, and then I have to do another fantasy football draft because can't stop, won't stop. That's my last one, thank God, because the season literally starts tomorrow. And I know it's going to be a little bit of a later night. So I was like, I'm going to take a little nap because I am really beat. And then I woke up and I was like scrambling to get the computer because it was all downstairs. So I had to get everything set up in here. And I was like, I need some of that sweet, sweet nectar of the gods. I need some Dr. Pepper. I am dragging. I'm enjoying it. It's crispy. It's delicious. It's everything I've ever wanted it to be.
I love that for you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. And yes, so Benji, unfortunately, is going to go hang out with his mom. Well, not unfortunately, it's good for him. Of course, Emmeline's like, no, please, you have to go hang out with her. So of course, that leaves her with Luke to go over to Sand Dollars. It is a lot. Luke is obviously, he's honestly being very sweet and very helpful, but he's kind of joking around. He's like, you know, if I get a hernia, like I'm suing your entire family. And it seems like they've kind of like gone back to the old ways a little bit because she was like, oh, like, why don't you just take off your shirt? Maybe that'll help. And he's like, oh God, you know, whatever. He's like, oh, trying to get me naked again. And she's like, oh, don't flatter yourself. And so she kind of asks him about this girlfriend. She's like, oh, I know you have a new girlfriend. And he's like, how do you know that? And she's like, well, you know, you wore a tie for her. And he's like, no, I wore a tie for my mom. Like, she made me do that. And so they kind of like drop that conversation. They're there at Sand Dollars. Ivy lets her in. And they...
If I may.
Yes, please do.
if I may. During this banter conversation, one part that I really liked is she's like, don't you have a girlfriend? He's like, where'd you hear that? And she says, it's all the talk at Tally-ho.
It was just such a good burn. Honestly, that's so good. I wish I was that clever. I wish that any boy that like broke my heart when I was 18, I could have come back with that much wit. But alas, no. I always in the moment was just like, blah, 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 blah. And then I think of something really clever later on. So bless Emmeline for having that kind of quick comeback. Yeah, so they get there. Ivy lets them in. They finally make it to drop it off. She, of course, is like, what in the world is that? They tell her what it is. And she's like, I don't need that. And she's like, yeah, it's not all about you. Like, the actual owners of the house wanted this here. And so they hear this, like, banging sound. And which also I like that Ivy asks if Luke is the pool guy. And he's like, yep, I wear many hats. I'm like, wait, you look familiar. And she's like, oh, like that must be the norm around here. And she's like, this one has a habit of popping up everywhere I turn, which like, what does that even mean? Right. I'm like, I don't understand what that means. And so they hear this banging. She says it's the door. And they're like, oh, like, why haven't you like, this is really annoying. Why haven't you like called that in? And she's like, oh, like, I just don't have time. Like, I can get help around here. Theo left me and my life is just so hard. So she's, you know, going off. and they go into her room because that's where, like, the little door is. The windows are taped over with, like, plastic bags. Everything is a mess, which, like, is not surprising. Like, that's a stereotype here, y'all, but artsy people tend to be kind of messy because they're so in their creative moment that they, you know, whatever. And I am not the neatest person. Like, I'm not even, like, as artsy as Ivy is. I'm not an award-winning documentarian or anything, but I have more of, like, a creative mind, I guess, than a, like, you know, STEM statistical math mind. And I can stereotype because it's me. I am, like, I will get a bug up my butt occasionally where I'm, like, I need to clean everything and I want everything looking beautiful and pristine. And then other times it's, like, 2 weeks and I'm, like, I should probably unpack my suitcase or I should really put that laundry that I washed away that's been sitting in a laundry basket. So, yeah, yep. I don't know. It's just, it's the way our mind works. It's probably because all of us are a bunch of neurodivergent ADHD-brained people who just can't, like, you have to be in the mood to do it. Like, we can't just do it because you're supposed to. So exactly. I feel for her to a certain extent. It, like, she does seem like she's stressed AF and just a lot is going on. But also, it's just like you're renting from someone. And it's not even like renting like a year lease apartment kind of situation. It's a summer house while you were filming something. And it's just the like lack of consideration she has when Emmeline, like, points that out to her, like, oh, my God, like, what is this? And what? And she's like, oh, it's no big deal. You know, I've just been so stressed. I've been so busy. And, like, why are you taking – because she takes the trash bags off the windows because she's like, why do you have an ocean view property if you don't want to see the freaking ocean? And she's like, oh, I'm very delicate to the sun. And she just comes off, like, so – I don't know, like, rich person, like, I can't be, but, like, this is not a me problem. Like, oh, like, the help will take care of this. And she basically, like, persuades Emmeline in staying to help her. And for some reason, Emmeline does. She's like, all right, let's start cleaning up this place. Because she's like, you help everyone else out. Like, please, please, please help me. And I was like, Emmeline is definitely a better person than I am, because I'd be like, nope, like, you got yourself into this situation. I'm getting the hell out of Dodge. Like, this was honestly shocking to me, because she's like, you help everyone else out, and she's like, yeah, they're my friends. And Ivy's like, oh, that's nice, thank you so much. And she's like, we're not friends. Like, I don't know where you got that twisted, but I do not consider you a friend. And yeah, I don't know, she just kind of like takes pity on her maybe or what, but she decides to start cleaning things up. And yeah, I just, the way, like I said, on one hand I get it, like I feel for Ivy and I'm not the neatest person, so I can't really cast a stone, but on the other hand, just like the way she reacts to it is just very I don't know, off-putting, to say the least. Then, so yes, they kind of finish that off. Ivy's like, are you gonna, you know, tell on me, basically, because Emmeline's like, you were breaking your contract that you signed to stay here, like, we could evict you, like, right now. And so when they kind of help clean up and everything, she's like, are you going to, you know, do anything? And she's like, we'll see, like, please just keep it like this and we won't. And Ivy kind of gives her like a compliment, I guess, about her, like, being, you know, kind of like a hard ass. And they head on out. Well, because, yeah, they're talking about it. And she, Emmeline, thinks it doesn't really sound like a compliment. And Luke's like, it is, to her. And or he's like, no, like, you should take it as one, like, it is. Which, like, yeah, like, there's nothing wrong with that. Like, you know what you want, and you get what you want, respect.
Yeah.
So yes, so she gets a text from Theo that he's going to Cape Frost with Clyde, and Theo's pleased with that. He's like, so far so good. And yeah, they like leave Ivy's basically, and that's the end of the Ivy debacle.
Yes.
For the time being.
That is where we leave Ivy for now.
Yes, for now.
So, 5 p.m., she says, Theo's like, wait until you hear this news. 5 p.m., the pavilion, be there. And, oh my God. So, she She spied a bouquet of multicolored balloons bobbing in the distance. As they grew closer, I saw that Theo, wearing his sports coat, was sitting right beneath them. He'd spread a white cloth out on the bench beside him, which upon which he'd arranged two champagne flutes and snacks.
It's so good, y'all. It's good.
It's so cringe. It's like, this is so awkward for her. This is her hometown. The fuck?
Yeah.
So he's like, oh, surprise. And she's like, okay, great. Thanks. And so he pours sparkling cider and he explains. Well, he pours sparkling cider. And he like keeps being like, drink. You have to drink. You have to drink before I tell you anything. And it's just like, oh my God, you're so annoying. Like he acts like a 9-year-old.
Yes.
And you're like, okay, shut up now.
I'll humor you, I guess, just so we can like keep on with it.
Yeah. So basically he's like, I am going to be Clyde Conway's assistant for his upcoming tour. And she was like, Clyde hired you? And he's like, well, basically, I mean, you just have to create the job description for a person who isn't even aware they need someone, and you're already halfway hired. And I was like, I was like, and she was like, okay. He's like, so, yeah.
Like an overconfident white guy.
Yes. It's so arrogant. He's just like, I'm.
Ooh. Well, that's the bill. 5 minutes of passing period, kids. Hustle.
No time for your lockers.
No, do not pass go. You must get to that next spot.
Oh, we're silly. Okay. And so he's like, basically, I'm going to get this job at the breakfast tomorrow morning. And she's just like, she's really like, I don't know if you're being like realistic about this. Like, I don't know. She's like, Ivy doesn't really like you right now. And he's like, yeah, but she loves that's a hard word to say.
Publicity. Ooh, the more I say it, the more it sounds fake. Publicity.
Yes, it's because like pop pop pop.
That's a weird word. Meet me at the pub with Felicity for some publicity. Ooh. Do you want to know what it's like when two millennial women just really like need a nap or something? Watch it happen live in front of you if you subscribe to our YouTube channel.
Literally. Every week we're like, all right, it's time for another breakdown.
who would like the weekly breakdown? I'm sorry that this is the world that we live in when it's just crisis after crisis. This is a complete random aside, but the other day I had to explain to someone, I don't even know how this got started. Well, I know what kind of started the one conversation, but how we got to this conversation, I don't know. But again, I have some friends who are Gen Z ladies, and I was at a birthday gathering this past week at dinner with one of them, and I had to explain to her, first of all, what a telethon was, and then, well, me and my other millennial girlies, and then we had to explain when Kanye West went on live television and said that George W. Bush didn't care about black people, and I was like, honestly, it was an iconic time, you had to be there. And so she's like, wait, what? And I was like, and then Mike Myers, and then we're like pulling up the clip, we're like, look at Mike Myers, look at him. So then we get into this whole conversation about like, and she's like, why do people not like George Bush? And I was like, for many reasons, but let me tell you. And I was like, remember when he lied to the American people that there was weapons of mass destruction just so we can invade Iraq? Like, you know, because like he wanted to finish a war that his dad started and because oil and whatever. And she's like, wait, what? And she's like, how do you all know all this? And I was like, did you not learn this in history? And she's like, I don't like think I learned this. And I was like, well, I lived it, which is how I know it. But also like, these are things we covered in history class. And anyways, it was just one of those things where I was like, wow, truly, as millennials, like the things we have lived through, because I was like, it's just one after another, baby. The hits keep coming, and everyone wonders why we're like this.
The hits keep coming.
I keep calling. Go ahead, call us cringe or whatever you want to do, or blame us for doing things. Like the avocado boomers are toast. Like, stop with your avocado toast. And then Gen Z is like, your side parts and your skinny jeans. What's the deal? And I'm like, the deal is we're always 2 minutes away from having an emotional breakdown.
Yes.
We grew up in a very weird time. And again, I'm not saying other people haven't been through it. Every generation has their thing. And I don't believe in intergenerational like put downs of younger generations. Older generations, fuck them. Except for the people I like. Looking at you, Mom. But she'll be like, ah. She hates being a boomer because like boomers are terrible. And I'm like, hashtag not all boomers. But I don't believe in, I never want to be that generation who's like, these kids have it so easy. And it's like, they should. Again, we've discussed
that
before. Yeah. Anywho, I don't know how this all led to this, but basically y'all, we're always 2 seconds away from losing it because we lived in a time when people went on TV and were like, President Bush does not care about Black people. Like, it's wild. It's truly wild. And then
20 years later, he's like a Nazi?
Yes. And it's so crazy. You're like, I don't know how you went from that to that. And that's the thing too, is like, the person I'm explaining this to only knows the Kanye of today, who's like terrible.
Yeah.
And she doesn't know when he like was still sane. And so I'm like, let me explain you a thing. Like back in the day, he used to say iconic things like that. And now he's a Nazi. Like, I don't know how that happened truly, but it'd be like that sometimes.
It'd be like that sometimes. I guess.
But yeah.
Money changes people.
Boy, does it. We have many, you know, examples of that, obviously. Looking at you, JK. Anyways, where were we in this lovely book?
We are at what's his face's absolute delusion. Theo's delusion. She's like, you don't have the job. And he's like, yet. Today I set the factors in motion. Now all that's left is to wait for them to unfold. Hold on, that's my phone. Fucking Clyde's texting him. I almost said Keith.
One Tree Hill? It's coming back, baby.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. One Tree Hill's coming back, y'all. Yeah. Anyway. You know who signed on to do it already?
Oh, who?
So random, but like the coach, not the coach, the guy who forgot he had a baby.
Wait, Jake?
No. The guy. Who forgot
he knew he had a baby. Wait, his wife forgot he had a baby?
His wife like dropped dead and the trauma caused him to like forget he had a kid.
Oh, what's his face? Yes. What is his name? Oh gosh.
That's when the show started going
off the rails. When they started singing to Toaster Strudels and I was like, the fuck? What does this mean? Because he dates what's her face?
Yes.
Guys, I'm sorry, y'all. We're going to have to pause while I figure out what the F this guy's name is. I think I'm thinking of the right person. The one that's like Nathan's agent?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Him. Yeah. Because he like becomes like kind of one of the male leads in the later. Clay. Is that his name? Clay. Yes.
Clay.
Who could forget Clay?
What a fucking crazy storyline. What a crazy storyline. Like, what? And then he had, like, the wife lookalike who was, like, stalking them. It was like, Where is this? How did we get here?
It was about basketball.
It
started so simple. It's two brothers. One is living a rich, privileged life, plays basketball. One lives with his mom, who's a single mom, and plays basketball. They're playing on the same team. Drama and girls ensue. And then it turned into, like, stalkers, crazy nannies,
heart the Russian mob,
the Russian mob. Like, it's honestly insane. If you have to track from point where you go start in season one with little Lucas Scott dribbling that basketball while like Dashboard Confessional plays in the background to where it ends, wild, truly unhinged. But I like in the best way possible.
Yeah.
So good. Why do teenagers own a club? Like, that's what I want to know. Like,
oh my God, you're right.
Nothing wild. They own a club, a fashion line, a record label. Like, all these people from this small town in North Carolina, no. That are all teenagers? No.
I know. When they did the flash forward seasons, it's like, oh, everybody's established in a pretty solid career.
Yeah. By 24, they're all like established and good. Right. And you're like, that's not how being in your young 20s works at all. Maybe like one friend is doing well for themselves and everyone secretly hates them because they're like, damn, you and your success. And
that person's going to have a breakdown at 32.
Yes, exactly. That's what, listen, when it comes back, that's the content I'm here for. I want to see the emotional breakdowns they're all having. Truly.
I want to see them suffer.
I want that out of context. It's
so good. So she's like, thinking that this all sounded awfully optimistic, if not a little bit arrogant. Yes. And then she says, but then again, I kind of had to admire his ability to go for what he wanted. I wrote, yuck.
You're like, I don't admire it.
Theo saw his opportunity and took it. Risk be damned. So then she finds out Clyde is texting Theo. And she's like, Clyde doesn't text. Like, what is this? And he was like, he had a phone. I plugged it in so that it would come back to life. And then I explained that texting means you don't have to talk to people, which turned out to be a concept he could really get behind. I am Clyde. Clyde is
me. Yeah. I was like, oh, Clyde gets it.
Clyde gets it. And she's like, doesn't sound like something Clyde would need. And Theo goes, he doesn't know what he needs. That's what I'm for.
Excuse me. That is...
Red flag.
Like a math. He is standing there on that boardwalk just waving a red flag. And you need to get the hell out of Dodge. What?
Run.
Run as fast as you can. Truly.
Yeah. Get the F out of there, man. Anyway. So, she's like, that sounds too familiar. So she's like starting to feel a little unsettled. She can't really get her like mind to not be unsettled. And then this is where Theo is like, oh, here's the thing. Like, this isn't just about the best future plan. It's not just about the job. Like, I'm also going to be in Colby. So like, I'll see you all the time. And like, I'll see you like whatever, blah, blah. And she was like, well, I'm moving to school. And he was like, no, you'll be home like all the time though. It's only 2 hours away. And she's like, wait a second. Where is this going? Because this is not where I was expecting this to go. She's like, just strange. She just feels strange. She's like, this is like starting to get overwhelming. She's like, she starts thinking about the girls at Jump Java who started dating summertime guys and expected long-term relationships. And she's like, I'm on the opposite end where I just dated a summer guy and now he wants a long-term relationship. And I am like, I'm actually all set.
Yeah. So good. Thank you. I was not expecting best summer ever to turn into best life ever.
Yeah. I'd be like, whoa.
Yeah. He's a lot that he doesn't know what he needs. Oh, just threw up in my mouth a little just thinking about that. Yeah, I would have been like, we're so good. Thank you. I'm actually just going to go away now and never see you or speak to you again. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thank you. Really appreciate it. Truly. Yes. Yeah. And she leaves him kind of like, okay, there's 23 days into college. And yes. I just have to figure out what to do. Theo's making plans that I am not here for. And how do I get myself out of that situation? And the answer, it turns out, is feral cats.
Feral cats.
Feral cats, baby. Chapter 19, a.k.a. the feral cats chapter.
Yes.
Fantastic. Truly. Honestly, iconic. Yeah, so she says, the nice thing about a job like mine was that because total chaos was never more than a phone call away, you could always be busy if you wanted to. And summer is fading away. July is holding into August. And then, as we all know, August just will slip away like a bottle of wine because it was never mine.
Yes.
And before you know it, it's September. And I do love all the memes that are like, September doesn't come after August, it's illicit affairs, angry for me.
Yes. I was like, yes. And you wanna scream.
Don't call me kid. Don't call me baby. Yeah, so iconic, honestly. And we got to witness a bunch of angry 7-year-olds sing their hearts out at the movie theater. And I was like, they have been scorned. They don't even know what they've been scorned by yet. But they are feeling it. And I love that for them. One day they'll understand, unfortunately. But anywho, so yes, this is where this lovely lady calls out, calls about the outdoor issue, which was held up by Rebecca. And as we know, Rebecca does not have good arms. Or Rebecca. I'm so sorry. Finley. There's only little arms. I'm sure she's lovely. So she goes to this place, and the outside issue is this lady is like, you know, we're animal lovers through and through, and we were just having a little grill sesh, and this cat came up and it looked hungry, and so we fed it, and now we can't go outside because all these cats are just sitting around waiting to be fed. And Emeline's like, that's why we tell y'all not to feed the wild animals. This is what happens. Wild animals will then not want to leave. So she's all like, not to worry, I'm avoiding Theo because he is stressing me hella out. And I'm going to go ahead and take care of this for you. I'm going to call like the animal people, which apparently is like two ladies. They call themselves CARE, Colby Animal Rescue and Education. And yeah, it's just these two ladies that run it. And I was like, lesbians.
Yeah.
We all thought that, right? That just me. I was like, oh, it's this nice lesbian couple who just loves animals. They just love cats and they take care of them. Fantastic. I love that for them, honestly. And everyone just, you know, lets them live their best lives. So anywho, she's like, some woman's like, oh, I guess they won't be grilling anytime soon. And she's like, oh, yeah, we'll take care of this and we'll have you back out there living your best life. So she says it had been about a week since Theo's big news at the pavilion. And things hadn't gone exactly as planned, i.e. he had not been offered the job yet, which is like, duh. Yeah, because no shit, Sherlock, right? So she says that the house had been listed. Margaret had listed her father's house. Her father and Benji had moved into a motel just down from Gertz, the Poseidon.
Ooh, shout out.
You know, shout out to the Poseidon. Leah's staying in a room adjacent, apparently. And yeah, they're having Leah again is like trying to, I don't know, have a little bit of fun with Benji in the last bit of summer. But of course, Benji knows what this is all leading to because, again, kids are smart and he just kind of wants to go hang out with Emeline. And so Leah kind of inevitably caves and is like, yeah, that's fine. And, you know, they say that they're dreading that they have to leave next week. And so Emeline's like, oh my God, like he doesn't know yet. And of course, Leah says that he knows it's coming, just not the exact day. Joel felt if we waited until the day before, it would be clear it was a fact, not something to be negotiated. And it's like, so you just like withhold things from your kids to like, what?
Ugh, I hate him. And she says it right here. She says exactly what this is like, eliminate the opposing argument and you two always get to win. That's the thing.
Yep. And that's how he lives his life. And
like a bitch.
Like a little bitch. Ain't that the truth? Amen. So yeah, that pretty much sums up her father. Mm-hmm. And what do we got? Yeah, so she says August was suddenly feeling like the bitter end, but it wasn't the end I'd expected, which had totally thrown me off, which it's like, yeah, I get that. Theo's kind of coming at you hot and heavy. All this stuff is going on. All these things that she was certainly not expecting. Apparently, he's like literally Theo is stalking Clyde. He's like just following him to Clyde's like local haunts. Like he goes with him to breakfast every morning, and Clyde's probably like, I don't want anything to do with this. So yes, she's saying that you know, these 23 days, like everything's just kind of like spinning out of control, and taking care of these feral cats at this rental property is like the one thing she can control. And I do love this next little bit when she comes back to the rental office and her grandmother is signing out about youme.com through Benji. Yes. And it's just so cute. Like Benji is so adorable. Again, save him at all costs. He is so precious. And Emmeline's like annoyed because she's like, I try to get you to like update the website. Anyone do that? And now you're on like Yumi over here. And so Benji's like, wait, you haven't updated your website in 2 years? That's crazy. Like, you need to really get on that. And then Grandma's like asking all of them, like, oh, can you like put it as one of your favorites or something? Can you put the whatever? She's very into it. She's finding out all these things, which is very cute, including the new slash button. And then when she gets there, her grandma's like, there's this lady waiting for you in the conference room. Dun, dun,
dun. A mystery.
A mystery. Who is this woman? And it's Ivy. And do y'all want to know why Ivy is here? You guessed it, probably because you have read the book. It's to offer her Theo's job, which is wild to me, honestly. She's like, I'll pay you well. I know you're about to go to college. And like, listen, I need you. I know that you have connections in this town. Can you please help me out? And she agrees. Like, she agrees to this, which is interesting. Like, what do you think is her reason for agreeing to helping Ivy?
Well, I think she like really wants to stay busy, but also I think like part of it too is probably that she's like pissed at Theo. So she's like, yep, I'll take over Theo's job. Thanks.
Yeah.
It keeps me busy and it'll like kind of annoy him. And yeah.
Yeah. I think there's like, it's like Ivy, obviously, as I said, like she's like pretentious rich person.
Yeah.
But I think she's worked hard for it as opposed to I think Theo just like falls into things because like he's a man. And I think that like there's still, it's like the way like my mind it makes sense, but now I'm like trying to explain it and it's not making sense. But I think in a sense like there is something that Emmeline kind of respects about her, even though she can't, like she's gonna like Ivy's gonna call a spade a spade, and at the end of the day she's gonna roll up her sleeves and she's gonna work hard. And I think that Emmeline is maybe a little bit pissed, like not pissed off like, oh, I feel bad for Ivy that Theo left, but like pissed off, like you said, at Theo, and also like pissed off that like he had a job and then he's just like, well, I found the next best thing and like left her. And obviously Emmeline has hangups with being left because her dad left her mom and she left her hanging. And obviously that's something that's kind of loomed over her. And so I think kind of like Ivy was saying, like when Emmeline sees someone in need, she always kind of like wants to help out. She's always there. She's always popping up. And it's like, I think she empathizes with that being left behind. It was like, right, you were left in the lurch. That's, you didn't do anything wrong. Like Ivy technically didn't do anything wrong to be left in the lurch here.
Right.
It was just Theo's ambitions that got in the way. And so she's like, yeah, I'll help you out for that. But it is,
right,
it's interesting. It's an interesting little plot twist.
She could also definitely see Ivy's like whole struggle when she went over there and saw like her trash bedroom and all that stuff. Like she was probably like, oh my God, what's happening here? Right. She needs more help. More
intense than I thought. Yeah, exactly. So she clocks out right at 5. She heads on over to the pavilion to see Theo, which, yep, there he is. And there he's got all the, like, Clyde's artwork, essentially. And so he's kind of cataloging things. And they're going to have, like, a little, I don't know, like, press conference, little function, basically kind of announcing the tour and the movie and all of that, like, Kieran Colby, which, again, Theo comes off, like, such an asshole, and he's like, well, this is just Colby. Like, this is nothing to what we're, like, gonna do. And I'm like, my dude.
Yeah. When she's like, Ivy needs your help, he's like, it's just Colby. It does not matter. Like, it's just the locals. It's not that serious. She'll get it figured out. It doesn't matter. It's like, oh, I wrote Theo, get fucked.
Yeah, seriously. I'm like, why would you say that about someone who you clearly know is from there, that you state that you like, that you care for this person? And also, like, the other person that you're, like, trying to, like, be up their ass is Clyde, who also, like, Colby means a lot to him. Like, why, even right, if you don't understand the appeal, why could you understand that, like, clearly people you respect, or you say you respect, it means a lot to. So, Yeah. Yep. That's great. And then this is where I literally, if I was there, would have just like punched him in the balls. Truly.
Yeah. 100%.
This next little bit. Whew, yeah. Man. So she again kind of points out to him once again that he doesn't have the job yet. And he's like, why do you keep harping on that? And she's like, it's the truth. And he's like, jobs like this are earned, not given. It's not like bringing towels to people. Okay. Fuck you, buddy. Cause that is spoken like someone who has never worked in any kind of customer service job in their life. And the world would be a better place if everyone had to at one point or another. Just saying. Yep. I was like, okay. And she's like, you think that's all I do? And he's like, I think that you have no idea what it's like to live in the real world. What does that even mean? Like, you live in a world where your parents have a little olive cocktail party. That's not the real world, buddy. Like,
right. Right.
Like, okay. I was like, wow. And she's like, so that's like, which is New York? And he's like, which is anywhere other than this small coastal bird where you know every single person by name and nothing ever changes. So she's like, bird? And he's like, it means small town. Which, like, if you're already saying small, why do you need to then, like, also say, but that just seems redundant. Some people say chai tea. Just pick one or the other. That's just me. And so she's like, you know, remember, I did good on my verbal. And he's like, clearly you got into Columbia. He is so hung up on that. And he is very butthurt about that. And so she's like, you know, who's harping now? And he's like, Emmeline, you're a really smart girl on paper. And it's not your fault.
On paper!
On paper. On paper. You've done some not so smart things. And she says, I was speechless, literally no words. This scene reminds me so much of Bring It On, where he's like, Torrance, you are, like, whatever. And then she goes and breaks up with him. And she's like, you're a good boyfriend, but that is what this reminded me of. Like, so belittling. Like, you're a really smart girl. First of all, you don't know her. Like, you have had a couple dates with her over the last, what, like, month, basically? You don't know her from Adam. But how belittling is it, truly? You're a really smart girl on paper. I, right there, just punched him right in the nuts. I mean, like, bye. The fact that she had the strength to continue on this conversation, I can never.
I would have walked out. He's so, like, you've done some not so smart things. That makes it sound like she, like, drives drunk.
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about, not so smart things?
Poor choices, because she turned down Columbia because she very smartly decided she didn't want to be in student debt for the rest of her life, where she could get the same degree that Columbia could offer her full ride. Yeah, I think she was onto something with that, personally. But
yeah,
I'm like, truly, in the time that you've known her and the things she has told you, what not smart things has she done? Dying to know.
Right.
Very curious. So yeah, he basically is really mad at her because she told him that she's going to work with Ivy, and he's like, this is going to be a big mistake. And she's like, you know, you think that, you know, turning down Columbia was the biggest mistake. And he's like, you're a girl from Colby High who got into one of the best schools in the country. It was a dream come true. And she's like, not my dream. Which, like, yeah, that's all you need to know. Like, she did it to impress her father because it was her father's dream. It's pretentious asshole people like Theo's dream. And all of them are so hung up on it. And she's like, I don't give two shits about Columbia. I don't care. I'm happy to go where I'm going. It is fine. And yeah, he just, like, he just doesn't get it.
He rolls his eyes, and then he's like, this is exactly my point. You don't know what's out there, Emmeline. Even if you even had the slightest idea, you'd understand what you're missing. And it's like, oh, okay, so just because you have a different form of life in New York City, you think that I'm not living correctly? Like, right. People like living in their small coastal towns. It's okay. Yeah. Like,
there's nothing wrong with that.
Like, she's fine going to her state school, and like, she's not a huge snob.
Yeah.
And she's like, instead of replying, I looked at him standing there before me in his jeans and expensive fitted t-shirt, hipster sneakers, owner of sports coats, someone who everything had to be big and special or not worth its time. And she's like, but that's the thing. Like, when you plan a grand gesture, what are you going to do next? You just have to keep doing it, getting bigger and bigger. And She says, sometimes when it came to events and people, it had to be okay to just be. Right. Like, exactly. Like, you just have to accept people and places as they are, not as you think they should be, question mark.
Right.
Like, with no reasoning, real reasoning behind it. But she said, and it was in that moment, a plain and simple one, that I knew what he'd said was right. I didn't know very many people like him, but I was beginning to think that was okay. One was probably enough.
Praise be. And honestly, so fortunate of you to learn this at 18. Because yes. Let me tell you, it takes so many other people many, many years to figure that out. So
yes.
Bless that you thankfully have learned that at this age.
I also think she takes the job too. Like, as you said, like, Ivy is just blunt. She's just straight to the point. But also she was, like, literally desperate. And, you know, Emmeline's not going to just be a cold, heartless bitch. And Theo's so mad at her about it. And it's like, okay. But when Ivy was, like, fully insulting Emmeline to her face for no reason, right. You were like, oh, it's just who she is. It's just who she is. Like, you just have to, like, roll with the punches. And it's like, okay, you're being a little fucking bitch right now. But she's like, he's like, so you're really going to do this to me? You're taking my job? And she said, yep. And he said, you're not who I thought you were, Emmeline. And she said, finally, something we could agree on. No, I told him, I'm not.
Mm. Yes, girl. Yes.
I love it. I had a moment like this. Personal story. Are you guys ready? Thank you.
Yes.
When I broke up with my ex-fiance, we shared two dogs and I really wanted one of them because we had already discussed that I was taking one of them and he was like withholding the dog from me. And it was like this huge dramatic thing, but eventually we ended up meeting at a coffee shop. Don't know why he needed to meet in person, but he did. And he's like, I just didn't expect like this behavior from you. And I was like, well, I mean, you know me. And he was like, clearly I don't. And I was like, wow, we almost got married.
You're like, okay. You're like, well, this is me. So bye.
Yeah. He's like, I just didn't expect you to like get a lawyer to get the dog. And it's like, oh, have you ever spoken to me once in my life?
You're like, I made it abundantly clear, like, that I was getting that dog. You think I was going to, like, not fight for that dog? Like, hello.
He's my son.
Like, please, let's be real about the situation.
Literally. But you know what? No bad blood, whatever. Enjoy your life.
You're like, live your best life.
Live your best life.
This guy, like, he was giving us the ick, but even, I mean, again, we called that Sarah would not be, like, writing him this way to, like, make it turn out that they were meant to be. So we called that they probably weren't going to have a happy ending. But I truly did not see just how bad it was going to get. I was like, whoa, okay. That got juicy. You know what else I'm going to call before? Because we have just the last couple chapters. So, of course, it's going to be kind of the denouement, the wrap-up that we're reading next week. And I'm also beginning to call Ivy. I'm getting – this is just me making references to, like, early aughts movies today. But that's me for you.
I like it.
I'm going to call that this is, like, a Coyote Ugly situation where, you know, her boss was, like, really mean to her. And then after she fires her, she comes there and she's, like, Bismarck, North Dakota. Like, I also wasn't a city girl and I, like, had to work my way and I'm a hard ass because I had to work for everything I want. I think, like, her and Ivy are going to have one of those moments where Ivy is going to be, like, I also came from a small town and, you know, had to work my way or whatever. Like, I think she is the way she is and maybe is the way she is with Emmeline because, like, she sees herself in her and, you know, whatever. Is that a reason to be a bitch to someone? No. But but some people are that way. And yeah. So I foresee a moment like that coming along. Not obviously necessarily exactly like in Coyote Ugly, but I suddenly, when I was reading Jeff, maybe, but I was like, I see. And I think that they are more alike than she is like Theo. Obviously, we know she is nothing like Theo. Her Theo is much more like her dad. But yes, that is what I foresee happening. So I'm going to go ahead and place my bet now. And obviously, we'll see if I am right when we reconvene. But
yes.
Yeah, God. Ooh. Just seriously. Glad she got out of that situation.
She is a bad bitch, Emily.
She is really a bad bitch. I am so proud of her, truly. That is fantastic. I wish nothing for the best for her, Daisy, yes. Horace, Benji, and I hope that they all get happy endings here in the next week. But yes, would you like to explain how next week is going to work?
Yeah, next week, I decided to take an impromptu trip to O-Town, if you will, the city beautiful, if you will. And so there'll be no episode on Tuesday. We'll just have a Thursday episode. And like, I want to say we're going to wrap up the Moon and More on that episode, but I also need to leave space for the VMAs, which are on Wednesday. So
I think
we'll see.
We should hopefully have time for both. Usually wrap ups are
quick,
like a little quicker. So I think we should hopefully have time. And if not, it might just be a little bit of a meteor episode. So everyone just prepare for that. But you'll see, obviously, when we post what you get.
Yeah. I mean, you'll see when it comes out.
That's the hey, Spinnerbait promise, baby. We're like, I don't know. We're kind of winging it. And it's fine. Like, we literally had full intentions of giving two episodes this week. And then we were like, Labor Day kind of got away from us. We are tired. It's Labor Day. We deserve a break. And we're like, and you know, like, we're about to wrap up this book. There's only so many books. It's fine. It's fine if we spread it out a little.
Yeah.
And so we did. And hashtag no regrets about it.
No regrets.
No. We live in a no regrets life. But yes, that is all for this week. I hope you all enjoyed her telling off Theo as much as we did. Fuck that guy. Yes, am I right?
Fuck that guy.
And it's like the anti-Hallmark movie, like the small town girl and the city boy. Neither one decided to take the other's life. And you know what? Happy for them, to be honest about that. But with that said, we'll see you next Thursday. Keep it real. Take care of yourselves.
Like,
all these exciting things happen at the VMAs. We'll see.
Like, comment, subscribe, share, tell your friends. Yes.
Tell your friends. Hopefully we see Taylor Swift tonight at the football game, and I hope she's wearing a fierce outfit.
Oh, she will be. Oh, obviously. She will be.
Obviously. I love football fashion. Okay. All right, everyone. That's all from us. Take care of yourself.
Bye.